All right, let's go to Romans chapter 4. I'm teaching on a subject that we call possessing our inheritance. And in this, this subtopic now that we have, that we're teaching, is entitled Receiving Our Inheritance. Receiving Our Inheritance. Now, I'll start reading here at verse 13 of Romans chapter 4. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, in this, we are looking here at this possessing our inheritance and this section receiving our inheritance. Here it talks about Abraham. He says that the promise that he should be the heir of the world. But it was not just to Abraham, it was to Abraham and his seed. The Bible says in Galatians that if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We know that Christ was the seed of Abraham, and that if we are in Christ, we are the seed of Abraham. Verse 16, therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So one of the key ingredients for us obtaining the promise is that we must have the faith of Abraham. The same faith that Abraham operated in, that's the same faith you and I ought to operate in. And it gives us a glimpse of that kind of faith. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. And God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which what? Be not as though they were. Okay? All right. So as we look at this, we're looking at this inheritance that you and I are to receive, that God has promised us, and we want to be partakers of it. What we looked at before is we looked at this idea of going from Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. And that we said that this, one of the reasons why you and I are in this earth, that any place God leads us, he expects us to take over, take ownership, take leadership, be an influence in it, to overcome it. And what we talked about is kingdoms. And we talked about these kingdoms that people have preached the gospel, but they have preached the gospel of salvation. And the gospel of salvation traditionally is the gospel where Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose again, seated at the right hand of the Father, and now we can be born again. And they preach the born again and the fact that Jesus died and paid the price for our sins. Now, that's a good message, and that is a key message in the gospel. But what we said is many times we have reflected traditionally on the fact that we're trying to get to heaven. That's our goal. But over in Ephesians chapter 2, it says we're already seated there with him in heavenly places. And so we're not talking about just going to heaven, but if we preach the full gospel and the gospel of the kingdom, all of a sudden we discover that the kingdom of God is not a religion. It's a government. And that we are ambassadors or government officials. And we're moving forward in this earth with something that we call diplomatic immunity and operating under some a law that I characterize that we have on the law books, where it is you can come in and the government would need a piece of property. And they'd need that property because they want to run an expressway through that particular community, and somebody doesn't want to sell. Well, then they can invoke something called eminent domain, and they can actually take that property. Why? Because that property is going to be used for a government project or something that the government wants to do in that city or that country or whatever have you. And so we're saying that we're operating under a new government, and we're coming in to possess land, to take back land, not only the people, but the property. And we said that what has happened is traditionally, we have just many times talked about saving of souls. That's only a part of it, because we're not just talking about us going to heaven. We're talking about us bringing heaven to earth. And so we saw the demonstration of that when Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, made the blind to see, the lame to walk, he fed the poor, so forth and so on. And this was bringing what is now being experienced in heaven, bringing it actually to earth. And so that is part of what our job is. Now, what we did is we looked over here in Luke, come on over here again, and look over in Luke chapter 4, please. And over in Luke chapter 4, we see here where we're talking about kingdoms. Now, understand that in the book of Revelation, it talks about kingdoms, and it says in the book of Revelation in verse 15, chapter 11, verse 15, that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our God. That God, Satan is occupying what we call spheres of influence. And we showed you in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, where it talks about wisdom and how wisdom buildeth a house. And over in Proverbs chapter 9, 1, it says, wisdom has builded her house and hath hewed out seven pillars. That there are seven major spheres of influence that God wants us to occupy. That the influence of education, the pillar of arts and entertainment, the pillar of politics or the political pillar, the pillar of family, the pillar of, it's seven pillars. So as we occupy those pillars, now we're the ones that take dominion over those spheres of influence. Because the Bible says, how can a man enter into a strong man's house except he do what? First, he has to bind the strong man. So what Satan has done is he set up strong men on the top of the mountains or those pillars, and he set them up there to rule over that mountain, the mountain of the family, the mountain of education, the mountain. That's why you can see books coming out that are books to be read to our children and by our children in grade school that you don't necessarily agree with. Or that's why you can see here all of a sudden this whole family mountain is being dominated and it's redefining the family. No longer it's Adam and Eve, but it's Adam and Steve. And so notice what they do. They get the political mountain to go ahead and make a law to make that family mountain valid. And then they take the media mountain and send it out to all the households and print all the literature and make people feel like that's a normal way of life. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what we have to do is take the mountain. And so notice what he was offering. Do you follow me what I'm saying here? All right, now this hadn't been preached, because if it's preached right and the gospel of the kingdom is preached right, the church wouldn't be losing its young people. Because all of a sudden, now I told you about my Corvette. Didn't I tell you about my Corvette? All right, I had a red Corvette when I got saved, and I thought that red Corvette wasn't for saved folk, and I just gave that Corvette away because I'm feeling guilty about a red Corvette. But I didn't know that God raises up race car drivers. I didn't know that God sends people to Hollywood. See, that if you don't know that, then you, the only mountain you're concerned with is the religious mountain. And that religious mountain is trying to speak to every other mountain. Hey, wait a minute. Why don't the religious mountain train up people to go into every other mountain? So that's the way it's supposed to be. And because it hasn't been that way, and we just preach religion, people come in on Sunday, get the name checked off, get rid of the guilt and everything, and go back out on Monday and cuss somebody. Oh, no, I didn't say that. But what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that, wait a minute, this is a training station. This is a training station for whatever your gifting is. And your gifting, we're going to add some super to your natural and make it so that you can take your mountain. You follow what I'm saying? All right, I'm preaching now. I didn't mean to preach. Now, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's what hadn't been preached. Because if you love Jesus, that means you're going to be a preacher. No. You can love Jesus and be in media. Now you're going to be a reacher. All right. Now, so verse 5, and the devil taketh him up to a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Notice he showed him all his kingdoms. He said this, the devil said to him, all this will I give you, and the glory of them, for they have been delivered to me. Now Adam delivered them to the devil, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. Now what we said about that is the idea of the enemy wanting the people to worship him and to do it his way to get to the top of that mountain. Now, the idea about it is God wants you to get there, but he wants you to get there with no compromise. Because what you worship, a compromise to get to the top of the mountain, is what's going to own you when you get to the top. Got it? So it won't do you any good to bow down. So in this, what we said now is that God's going to raise us up, and now we're going to be at the top of that mountain and influence that entire mountain. But I want you to see something here. He said in verse 6, and the devil said to him, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it. Now notice what he said, all this power will I give thee. So the power is not in the system. The power is in the one who has charge of the system. You got what I'm saying? See, the power is not in the system. People always blame the system, so forth and so on. It's the one behind that. No, we'll get there. Get some of the tape. Praise God. I ain't going back through this. All right. Now, I want to go on because I really got some things here I want to share with you today. So now, what do we say about the church? The church is the most powerful institution. Now understand, a pillar, what does a pillar do? A pillar holds up a structure. What's a structure? It's the world. It's a system. It's a world system. So the pillar holds it up. Now, Satan can't invent a thing, so the only thing he does is counterfeits. So the only reason he got seven pillars is because wisdom has seven pillars. Okay. Now, so as we look at this, oh, I forgot what I was going to say now. I'll get it. I'm just trying to. I shouldn't be going back here. Yeah, I'm going to just flow. The church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Turn to Joel. J-O-E-L. Joel. Now, I'm just resetting your thinking. Now, by the way, if you don't know where Joel is, just look on the board when I read the scripture, or go to the table of contents and put a tab right there so you can flip back and forth. Okay. And I'm not coming down on you. I'm just saying I know you're learning and so forth. Joel, but I got to move on. You know. All right, look at Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 at verse 1. This is talking about the church. How do I know it? Listen at it. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. That's the second coming of Christ. So he's talking about the church. All right? A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. That's what's going on now. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people, talking about you, a strong. There hath not been ever like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. There's never been anything like you, and there'll never be anything like you when you leave. The church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Your mind cannot even come close right now to conceiving how much power is resident in you. That's how much power you got in you. Now, with that, God has got a church that is unstoppable, invincible, and indestructible. Now, as the church goes forth, the church is going to be made a it's going to be given a badge of distinction. That even in the most depressed economy, the church shall prosper. So God has a covenant with his people of distinction. Ooh-wee. Now, I want to show you just a little bit of that. Turn to Deuteronomy, please, in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Boy, I'm still thinking about that song. Turn my morning into dancing and dance and dance. Deuteronomy chapter 7, please. Let me know when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 7. That shouldn't be too hard. God is talking to his people. Look at verse 13. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. And he will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil, and the increase of thy kind, and the flock of thy sheep in the land, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And thou shalt be blessed above how many people? Above some people. Above everybody. And there shall not be made of male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee how much sickness? All sickness, and put none of these evil diseases upon the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, and upon thee, but thou will lay them on those that hate thee. Now, notice this badge of distinction here, this covenant of distinction. He's gonna make it so that people will know who you are. Let's keep going. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Come on back there, please. Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above how many nations? All nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Look at verse 9. And the Lord shall establish you what kind of people? A holy people unto himself, as he hath said, sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you or in awe of you. Now, they're not going to see that you're called by the name of the Lord because you, this is the day. That's not what they want to see. They don't care nothing about that. They're going to see the actual material evidence of you being called by the name of the Lord. I'm talking about he's going to make you a badge of distinction. Now, God's going to do this. I didn't say you're going to do this. I said this is by faith through grace. But God's going to do this. Let's go to another one here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 33. Now, what points am I establishing? The first point I establish is that the church is the most powerful institution in the world, what? Ever. You got to leave, you can't leave ever off. You leave ever off, you miss it. You don't get the revelation of it. So you don't even know how powerful you are. I said, you don't even know how powerful you are. All you got to do is look at Jesus' life. He said, the things that I do shall you do also. I saw Jesus raise a man from the dead who'd been dead 4 days and stinking, and his body was decomposing. I mean, I saw it in the scriptures. I saw Jesus curse a fig tree, and in less than 24 hours, the whole thing was withered up. He didn't go get a Minimac chainsaw and come out here and cut the thing down. He just spoke to it. I saw Jesus stop a storm. Now, he said, the things that I do shall you do also. So get to speaking. Say amen to that. Now, understand, we came out of Egypt, so our minds have been conditioned to, you know, oh, woe is me. I'm just a prayer project. You ain't no prayer project. You're not the one sitting by the side of the road. You're the one passing by that's got all the stuff for it. Every time you call some folk, that's all they need is prayer. Hey, wait a minute. I think half of that is in your mind. Half of that is because you've not accepted your new status. And your new status says, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Say amen to that. And my name, I am a registered overcomer. Praise God. You heard, I'm a registered Democrat. I'm a registered Republican. Well, I'm a registered overcomer. We'll get there. Praise the Lord. Look what it says here in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 9. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear the all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. I mean, all that God's going to lay on you so that people will fear and tremble. Because they're going to see that all this good stuff. So what is God doing? God is bringing you into a financial dreamland. Do you hear what I'm telling you now? So, God will have the center in your hometown, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your side of town, in your city, in your state, to know something has happened to you. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, I know you're going to have some haters, but nobody hates success. Success has no enemies. What they hate is their reaction is against the success being expressed through you. See, they're not mad at my car, they're mad at their car. No, come on now, come on, somebody with me now. Now, what is happening? What is God doing? Now, he's leading people out of Egypt. They're coming through the wilderness, and they're going to Canaan. Now, what does Canaan represent? It represents the rest of God. It represents the promised land. It represents the best of God. So God sees you with the best. The prodigal son came back home. The first thing the father said is, bring me the what robe? The best robe. He didn't say, bring me the one on sale. Bring me the best robe. Didn't he say that now? Okay. Now, once that happened, how about the wine? They had made wine. They had drunk the wine. And Jesus and his disciples came to the wedding supper. And they had run out of wine. And his mother said, they have no wine. He said, what is that to me? My time had not yet come. She turned to the servant and said, whatever he said to you, do it. He said, fill the water pots up with water. They filled them up, 2 or 3 firkins apiece, 30 or 40 gallons. And then fill them up. That's a lot of wine. And fill them up. And then he said, bear to the governor of the feast. Took it out of there. Took it to the governor of the feast. The water had been turned to wine. He said, woo, go. Hey, shout out. He said, most folk put out the best stuff first. And when everybody got drunk, they put out their bad stuff. Come on, some of y'all know that. And put out their bad stuff. But you ain't there no more. You saved now. I know you saved. But you've saved the best wine till now. I'm telling you, God wants you to have the best. Canaan is the best. Now, notice what happened. They went out. They had sent out 12 spies, went out, spied the land out, came back with a report. 10 of them had what kind of report? An evil report. See, their theology was off. And they began to talk about how big the giants were, how tall the walls were, and so forth and so on. But 2 of them said something. They said, let us go up when? Come on now. Come on. Help me now. At once and possess it. See, some of y'all been waiting on God, but God done already moved. He is waiting on you. Have the faith that takes and not the faith that waits. It's time. All the waiting is over. This Bible is finished. It's all in here. It's for you. The house is in here. It's built. The land is in here. All right, now listen. Here's the deal. Here's 2 things I want to tell you. 1, stop settling for less when God wants you to have the best. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say get the best and get in debt. That ain't the best. You just been used. I'm preaching better than you saying amen right over there now. No. Mm-mm. I didn't say that. The best is that you don't owe no man nothing but the loving. Come on now. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with you owing somebody some money. I didn't say that. But that's not got the best. Say amen to that. So, I know your faith may be there right now. Fine. Let's keep working on it. Let's get you into a place where you can get that car debt-free. Come on. Let's get you into a place where you can get that house. Come on. Debt-free. Let's get you into a place where you can buy that 4-flat. Come on. Debt-free. Amen. Because, see, the enemy is a negotiator. He'll try to get you to compromise. Tried to do to Moses. Moses was about to leave with the children of Israel, and Pharaoh said, well, listen, Moses, I'm going to let you go. But just leave the women and children with us. See? And Moses said, no deal. Come on, say no deal. So now, what am I saying? God has given us the spoils that have allowed the wicked to live a life of luxury and lavishness. They have pampered themselves with the best of everything. Now is time to transfer. Now you remember, God has given them land that other folk were living on. But God said something about it. He said, this is what I'm going to do. Turn back there. Come on back over there to Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's go there first. Praise God. Amen. Now, don't freak out. I mean, you know, don't get caught up in stuff. See, because I got to cover that. It may not be in this lesson, but I got to cover that, see. See, there's a reason why he wants you to take this land. Money has a mission. See, you've been called for that. If you're just going to stockpile it, he could have left it with the wicked. Look what it says here in verse 1 of chapter 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations, greater, what? And mightier than that. That means that you're not going to be able to do it in your own strength. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no what with them, covenant with them, and show no what? Mercy to them. Now, this you got to see this now. You got to see this. Because you're in that process right now. That houses that they have bought, all of a sudden they're upside down in them. All of a sudden they got houses that they can't pay. Why? Because the stock market fell, and because they were connected to the system, they fell. And now they ain't got money. They're trying to get rid of the houses. The banks are calling notes and so forth. I'm telling you, folks, I hear a lot of this because I'm kind of I'm here. But that thing is happening now. And now, you know, you can get stuff for pennies on a dollar. And I remember it says, have no mercy on them. It doesn't say don't love them. But look, I want you to take a certain position, he's saying, in this whole transfer. I remember when my wife and I went out to buy that car for somebody, and we went to the place, it was a Toyota dealer. We're going to get a nice Toyota, kind of a late model, something that has been pre-owned and so forth. We're going to get it. And we went, and the guy saw us. Hey, Pastor Winston, watch your program. Okay, Pastor, come back on Saturday because they're going to have an auction. Come back then. I said, hey, you got a better deal. I said, oh, well, praise the Lord. Boom. Went back. Came back on Saturday, found the car. What did it say on the windshield? It said $10,500. I said, boy, this got inside nice, looked new inside and so forth. And the guy came who was an auction guy. So the guy brought him over, guy met me. He said, okay, what do you give me for it? I said, I looked at the windshield. He looked at the windshield. We looked at each other, looked back at the windshield. I stepped back and said, Holy Spirit, what shall I give him? He said, give him $2,200. Huh? Don't have no mercy on him. Whatever he tells you, you do it. For this is a transfer. I said, man, I'm trying to make my mouth say 22. You wait till you get in that position. You will be there. There's going to be some negotiation going on in these last days. Say amen to that. So I just couldn't say it. I loosed it. I said, 3,000. Now I'm thinking I'm bold. 3,000. He stepped back, looked at the other salesman, kind of did his hand like that, looked back at me and said, I'll take it. I want to say, no, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Now, you heard me say, I thought I said 22, didn't I? That's too late. It's too late. God was transferring something to me. But I had mercy. I wasn't following God. I was looking at the man. I was looking at what he might accept. Don't look at the man. Look at Jesus. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He'll tell you what to say. Now, I'm not trying to be cold, not trying to be hard or anything like that. But when he says this, follow him. See, the world doesn't do things by the Spirit of God. They do things by their own intellect and what they think they can get away with their own reasoning and rationale. We don't do things like that. We've got a counselor, a mighty God, and all we got to do is step back and ask him what the deal is on this project. He'll say, give him that, and do it, break it down like that. Don't pay him all the money up front, pay him a quarter now, and so forth. He knows what to do. And that's the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with the man. I'm not saying anything wrong with the man's place or whatever have you. But I know what God told me to do. I mean, how about the man that I told you about? This true story. And he was a Catholic monk. And he went out there to pray that afternoon when it was thundering and lightning. And the lightning struck, hit him in the head, split his head open, and his brains were laid out. He was dead instantly. And the next thing you know, he was in the morgue, and God spoke to him. He was out of his body, and God spoke to him and said, I'm going to put you back in your body because I got an assignment for you. And he was glad to go, I believe. And he got back in his body, pushed himself out of that morgue, wrapped that sheet around him, went in there to an attendant, 12 o'clock at night, and so forth and so on. Attendant ran on out. And then next thing you know, now I don't know whether all that happened, but this is a true story. He told the man, he said, go to such and such a Cadillac dealer downtown, and you tell so-and-so, who is the owner, tell him I said, give you a Cadillac. And he then got up, he got clothes, went down to the Cadillac dealer, showed up there, and the Cadillac salesman came, said, sir, can I help you? He said, yes, I'd like to see Mr. So-and-so, who's the owner. He said, he's not in right now, he's at lunch. He said, but he'll be back shortly. Can I help you in the meantime? He said, no, no, I need to wait on him. He said, no, I can take care of you. And what I could do is, you know, you want to see about a car? He said, yes, sir. He said, but I'll take care of you and we'll set it all up and you can handle it with him. He said, no, I insist. I got to see him. So he said, okay, well, fine. Sit down over here. He'll be back shortly. So the guy came back. And then the guy came back when he was coming in the front door. The other guy caught him and said, hey, there's a guy here who want to buy a car and so forth. So you know how it is. It's a good deal. He got a deal working. Hey, yes, sir. What can I do for you? He said, your name is so-and-so. Yeah. He said, come on in the office. Sit down. The guy said, down behind his desk. The gentleman sat down there and he said, what can I do for you? He said, God told me to come down here and get me a car. My name is Mr. So-and-so. He said, oh. He started crying. Watch this. Put his head down on the desk, opened up the right-hand drawer, pulled out a set of Cadillac car keys, brand new Cadillac, gave it to the guy, and this is what he said. It's the one that blew it out down the end of the line. Watch this. He said, God came to him last night in a dream. Now, that's scripture. He came to Pharaoh in a dream. He came to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. He came, folks, God can transfer stuff with no money. Praise God. Now, I'm telling you. Now, I don't know about you, but whatever the Bible says, I want it. It's my inheritance. It's legally recorded in heaven as belonging to me. I want it. I'm not trying to figure it out with my mind. I'm not trying to see if God really meant what he said. If it's in the book, case closed, I want my stuff. Now, I know some of y'all, that's hard for you to handle because you don't know what side of the fence you're on anyway. And that's why you came in here. We're trying to really get you saved so you know what side of the fence you're on. But that's all right. You are a registered overcomer. You are a registered overcomer. All right. Let me just show you this. So, now it's being transferred. Folks are looting stuff right and left. And what they thought is that it wasn't going to show up at their house. And I know I've got a list. Somebody sent me a list of the billionaires, some of the billionaires, and sent me their net worth before this latest Wall Street thing. And then they sent me the list after. Big comparison in net worth. They have lost billions of dollars. Now, I'm not coming down on nobody, and I'm not wishing anybody evil. I'm only saying something, that that land in Canaan had been prepared. It was prepared by the sinner for God's people. And watch this, when God's people refused to go in there, God didn't like it. He didn't like it. All right, that's all right. You listen, when you see me sailing on my yacht,
sailing, bra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra.
I told you, everybody likes success. They just don't like to see certain people with it. That's your problem. And let me tell you, I ain't moved by you. Because where were you when I was down on Lake and Pulaski trying to get enough money to wash my daughter's and my son's clothes? Where were you then? You weren't nowhere around. Well, you ain't nowhere around right now, because I'm going on in and getting my stuff. All right. I'm going a little bit deeper now. Now listen, if this is bugging you, maybe we need to get you saved. Because I'm preaching the gospel. And remember, when Joshua and Caleb came back and preached it, was it a popular sermon? Nope. Was not popular. Was not popular because of the mind control over the rest of them. And I know that's what it was. It was sorcery. But you delivered. And we're going in and we're going to take our stuff. All right. Now, all right. Let's go to the next place. I've got, woo. Is that what I got? Y'all give me about 7 more minutes. I need 7 more minutes. Can I take 7 more minutes? Now, I'm not wishing evil on anybody. I'm only saying that there's a wealth that is out there that God has gathered up. And he used the wicked to gather it up. But he got them to gather it up because he's going to transfer it to those who have pity on the poor. He's going to transfer it to those who are called by his name. Are you following what I'm saying? I don't know why I'm trying to explain this all to you. You ought to read the Bible. Okay. All right, let's go. We're going a little bit deeper now. Now, don't get mad at me as I'm going here. Listen. No, I ain't gonna say that. Coming over to Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. Mm-hmm. This is real. Amen. Now, the other services really enjoyed this. I'm feeling a little pushback in this service. So it must be some haters that came up in here somewhere. I'm feeling some pushback in this one. I didn't feel that in the other one. I can feel it in the spirit. But I'm going to teach it. I'm going to teach it. All right, now God says all things are yours. I'm not going back through that. That's it. We've talked about that. And we are overcomers. All right, let's go with this. Let's go to verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. I'll read there. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat against the ship that it was so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they wake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, it really didn't obey him. It really obeyed his faith. All right. Here's a couple of things for you. When Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:21, put it up there, please. Just put it up there. 1 Corinthians 3:21. It says, "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." What we have established in that, he didn't say all spirituals are yours. He said all things are yours. And he said, in this, we said, we just don't go around indiscriminately grabbing something from somebody. That's not the idea. God transfers it. But if there's anything good about it, anything beneficial, anything that we could use to enhance our lives, anything to help fulfill our assignment, we have a right to it. And that's why Jesus could say to his disciples, "Go into town, two of you, and you're going to see a colt, a donkey tied, and unloose it. And if anybody asks you, why are you taking that colt, tell them the Lord has need of it." Say amen to this. Amen. Now, whatever God says, that's it. No matter what you feel or see, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what some professor said, no matter what some natural law has stated, whatever God said, that's it. Everything else is irrelevant and immaterial. Stay with me. Now, so they're going over to the other side, but here comes a storm. Now, we talked about this before. And what we said in this is no one can stop you from reaching your destiny but you. Are you with me? If you are not enjoying a full, rich life in Christ, don't blame other folk. Don't blame God, and don't blame the devil, and don't blame your circumstances. Because that's not your problem. The only one that can mess me up is me. I showed you last week, by thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. It didn't say by his words. It said by your words. Circumstances can't stop me. That's what this is bringing out. A storm couldn't stop them. Watch this. Neither could a drought stop Isaac from getting rich. Watch this. Neither could Laban stop Jacob from prospering. Now, Laban was his supervisor. So your supervisor cannot stop you from prospering. Now, you just hear what I'm saying. See, what I've done with this is I've taken religion out of it. And once you take religion out of it, you can see clearly. The kingdom of God is not a religion. It's a government. You can't stop me. And he couldn't stop Jesus. He didn't say, "Well, let's go over to the other side if the weather's good." So what does that mean? Your mama can't stop you. Come on, your sisters and brothers can't stop. Husband and wife can't stop you. They can't stop you. God has made it that way. He has made it that way so that nothing and nobody can stop you from you. Well, how about the devil? It says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee." It says, "I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions," watch this, "and over all the power of the devil, and nothing can by any means hurt you." Yeah. Notice what he said. Upon this rock I'll build my what? Church. And the gates of hell shall not stop its forward progress. Nothing can stop you. You're invincible, you're unstoppable, and you are indestructible. The Bible says in Joel chapter 2, you'll fall on a sword and get up whole. Now, what has happened? That ain't been preached. And I'm going to preach it. And that's why I'm being called all over the world. Because God is opening those doors. He is fed up with the church being under the other side. The Bible says over in Ecclesiastes, there is an evil in the world. And it's where kings are walking like slaves. God calls that evil. And when they came back from Canaan, they brought back what kind of report? Evil report. If you looked at that with your natural mind, it would look like it was right. Why? Because the giants were bigger than them. Why? Because the cities, you couldn't get past those cities. But God never intended for you to get past Satan without him. Because without God, Satan can defeat you. Let me tell you something. That storm came up. Didn't it come up? Let me give you a truth. And you remember this. I want to say it just like I wrote it. Battles are necessary for you to get where you're going. Battles are necessary for you to get where you're going. You tell me any significant promise that God has for you in this book that you're not going to have to war for. Folks, you have been born in the middle of a war. Watch this. Jesus warred from the time he was born to the time he got out of here on that cross. He was born. When he was born, Herod put out a law, an order, a decree to kill all the babies 2 years old and under. They had to take Jesus and take him down where? Where did they take him? Down to Egypt. Why? To hide him. Why? He's in the middle of a war. Jesus would heal 5 or 6 people, heal the whole multitude, and the next thing the Pharisees plotted to do what to him? Kill him! Just like I'm speaking this truth right now, the devil hates it. But see, I'm going to show you something of a word called confidence. Because that's what I'm going to jump on next time. This is the confidence that we have in him. See, I'm going to jump on that word because confidence is the foundation for your faith. Say amen to this. Let me read you what the word confidence means. Can I do that? The word confidence, y'all got me preaching now, I guess. Can I get 5 more minutes? Can I get 5 more? The word confidence means a trusting or a reliance. It means an assurance of mind. It means boldness and courage. The word confident means, it means having full belief, positive, trusting, without suspicion. You see, this idea of confidence, we have to have confidence. He told Joshua to be strong and of good courage. And the thing that builds you up in terms of your courage and so forth is your confidence. Lord have mercy. Where are my notes? I'm trying to finish y'all right quick. It's your confidence. And confidence comes through knowledge. Knowledge causes confidence to rise. Let me just show you that. Can I show you that? Put something right there and turn with me over to Proverbs and chapter 24, please. Proverbs chapter 24. Can you just give me just a couple more minutes to finish it? Proverbs chapter 24. I told you, you are a registered overcomer. I said, you... You're going to get a revelation of that right there. Proverbs chapter 24, please. And I said 24 and what? Glory to God. I didn't give you a verse. Verse 5. You ready? 24 and 5. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of what? Knowledge increases what? Strength. Knowledge causes confidence to rise. I said knowledge causes confidence to rise. And the enemy is after your confidence. He does not want you to be confident. As a matter of fact, he comes with words to wear out your confidence. He comes after your confidence because he knows that's where the strength is coming from. That's why even Muhammad Ali, I know you remember when he used to fight, notice what happened. He would always talk about his opponent as a victim. He said, and you gonna go down in two. You go, you know, whatever have you. What he was saying is he was what we call on the block selling wolf tickets. He would tell him what he's gonna do with him, see? But that was supposed to whittle away at his confidence. I can't show you that now, but Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, he was surrounded by the Assyrians. They had taken all the cities around Jerusalem, but now they were coming after Hezekiah. And because they came in and began to talk about all the cities that they took, and then Hezekiah gave them gold, and then he even cut the doorknobs off the temple and gave them to him, think he gonna back the devil off. Listen, you can't back the devil off. The devil doesn't quit until he has everything you got and some more. So what did he do? He then did that. But what did Hezekiah do? Because of his confidence had fallen so low, he then sent to Isaiah and said, here, y'all go get a word from the prophet. And Lord Jesus, I'm preaching. His confidence was low. But when the word came back, that's what the Bible is for. It's for building back your confidence. Because if the enemy can't take your confidence, he can't defeat you. And knowledge brings confidence, folks. So what happens? Notice what Goliath did. All those 40 days, he was nothing but cursing the gods of the Israelites. Notice what he's doing, whittling away their confidence. No confidence, no faith. And the first thing you do when your confidence starts falling is you get negative.
That's right. Come on.
That's a sign that your confidence is gone. And what does the enemy do with you? He doesn't take a Goliath, he just takes the news. Just listen out enough of it. It's designed to steal your confidence.
That's right.
Are you with me? Oh yeah, the doctor show you the x-ray. But who you gonna believe? Now, I want you to say, because nobody can stop you, no situation, no nothing that you can't overcome. Because he doesn't cause you to triumph sometimes. Always causes you to triumph. I can show you scriptures in there that guarantee. I was teaching a staff the other day, my staff here, and I was teaching them about angels. I said, now you got angels with you.
Yes, it.
I said, now the Bible says in Psalm 34 and 7, the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him and delivers them. Watch this. I said, now have you ever studied angels? Because that's what you got to deliver you. Amen. Now remember Jesus, when they came after Jesus, Jesus said, wait a minute, you don't understand. If I wanted to, I could pray to the Father and he would send 12 legions of angels right here. You see them right here. And they'd tear this place up. Now watch this. One angel over in Kings slayed 140,000 soldiers. One angel. Now, Jesus is talking about calling 12 legions. Let's say a legion is 2,000. So now 12 times 2,000 is what? 24,000. Am I right about it? Now, if one angel can slay 140,000, 12 legions, with a legion being 2,000, can slay over 4 billion people. Watch this, in a night. Now watch this, how fast is an angel? Because you may think he may not get there in time. Watch this. One angel, the Bible describes, is as fast as the lightning. He moves at the speed of light. Light moves at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. Do your math. That means that one angel can circle the earth 7.5 times in a second. Now get this. That's what you got, and you came here with it.
That's your word.
Now notice what that's designed to do. Give you one word. Come on. Confidence. Now you can go into the battle. Because you know you're not by yourself. And I can give confidence to you for your giving. I can give confidence to you, everything. Your doctor give you a bad report. Come on, get some confidence. See, because you can't get there without a battle. It's not, forget it. You are born in the middle of a war. But God always causes you to triumph. You win every battle. He's just after your confidence. And I'm going to teach you that next time. Now, this last place, let's just go. I did fear. I didn't deal with fear like I wanted to. But just go to Psalm, please. Psalm chapter 3. And that's all. I know I done kept you a long time. Y'all got me preaching. Bro. But I'm trying to give you some stuff. Because you can go into that next business negotiation with confidence. But what have we done? Sunday morning, just come for a sermon. Oh, didn't he preach nice today? No, he gave you keys to confidence. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Look what it says here in Psalm chapter 3. Ooh, Lord. Remember, whatever you fear becomes your master. Remember this, a man naturally becomes a victim of whatever he fears. So fear nothing. Well, what about that evil report? Don't fear. Psalm chapter 3, have you got it? Look what it says here in verse 7. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. That's all I'm going to read to that. You know why I'm going to say that? Because Satan, the Bible says, is as a lion roaming around this earth seeking whom he may devour. Well, two things you ought to discover. He's not a lion. He's trying to act like one. And the second thing, his teeth has been knocked out. So he can't chew nothing, no way. Come on now. Come on. He's a toothless tiger. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got here. Amen. You're going to get your stuff. We're going in, we're going to take it, and we're going to possess it for the kingdom of God. Take a seat for just a minute, please. All right. I know I kept some people long. And I certainly didn't intend to do that. Man, y'all ought to be willing to hear this kind of stuff all day long, man. I'm surprised. I go over to other places, man, you can't get out. I mean, they want to hear more. I mean, what? But in this nation, something's happened. But I'm going to tell you, people ain't going to be comfortable like that long. Because something is coming in this country that's going to bring every man to his knees. If he don't know Christ, he's coming to his knees. You better get confidence right now, because God has registered you as an overcomer. That means there are some battles ahead. If you hear God spoke to your heart, let me just give these people a chance to get out first. If God has spoken to your heart about being born again, I want to pray for you right now. Here's the deal.